Opinions expressed on the following program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Absolute Broadcasting, its staff, or advertisers.
This is Crosswinds with Carl Zahn on 1590 WSMN. You think you've heard it all week long? Well, you haven't heard what Carl has to say. Carl Zahn brings all his experience in business and in entertainment to discussing the news of the day that affects us all in southern New Hampshire. And his aviation experience helps him keep his cool when the controversy heats up and things get turbulent. So fasten your seatbelt, put your tray in the upright and locked position, and get ready to join the conversation. 1590 WSMN presents Crosswinds. Crosswinds with Carl Zahn.
Hey, get over here, you cute little audience, you. Welcome back to Crosswinds at 1590 WSMN, Nashua's news and talk. Back in studio with you after taking last weekend off for Hurricane Irene, and sorry to report that my former producer and board operator, Ali Ricadone, carried away by strong winds during that storm, I'm hearing. Not to be heard from since. Odd. Hey, Ali, how you doing?
I'm here. I didn't blow too far away.
You didn't blow too far away?
No.
That was some hurricane, huh?
It was crazy.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't that crazy. It was a big rainstorm. But there was a lot of damage throughout northern New Hampshire and Vermont. Our neighbors to the left or west, depending on how you like to designate your geography. 603-816-1590. If there's anything you want to talk about, we got a full plate today. We'll get into politics shortly, naturally, as New Hampshire plays a key role in that. And there's lots of stuff going on in that department. And a few local things first, WSMNradio.com to learn more about our programming here and our station. And Carl, K-A-R-L, from NH.com to learn more about me and my schedule of stand-up comedy appearances. I believe the last time I was in, the week before last, I had announced my upcoming four and a half appearance on Fox News' Red Eye. We got halfway down, and that show got canceled, too, because of the hurricane. So I've been canceled twice on Red Eye in my two most recent visits. So I'm not daunted. I shall not go down easily, and I think I'm going back there in a week or two. We'll keep you posted. I'm going to try again to get my fourth appearance in on Red Eye. Closer to home here, the flood damage from this heavy rain, Tropical Storm Irene, I guess it was, as it got here. And a lot of talk about the media overhyping this. Yeah, maybe a little bit, you know, hard to say. You never know till they get here what's going to happen. But it looked like this hurricane was falling apart pretty much shortly after bouncing off the Carolina coast. And I remember Shep Smith on Fox News reporting a big area of blue sky just beneath the storm. You could kind of see it falling apart. But the media being as the media is, they stuck with it, and the coverage got a little silly. You know, they have all these reporters standing out in what appears to be a light mist, and they were looking for drama anywhere they could find it. But anyways, there was enough drama in northern New Hampshire, heavy, heavy damage to roads up in northern New Hampshire. Hart's location, Bartlett, all those areas up there got hit really hard, as did Vermont. Really took portions of Vermont really got hammered with floodwaters from this thing. Vermont was one of 10 states, I believe, that set all-time river high records. All-time records for river highs. That's a pretty amazing thing, and again, it feeds into the atmospheric changes that are going on, whether you feel they're man-made or not. I don't think anybody can deny that there is some crazy stuff going on with the atmosphere, because we got these wild storms, we got tornadoes up here now, and I don't recall us ever getting tornadoes, and we get these crazy, crazy rainstorms. They had as much as 15 inches of rain in places in Vermont. That is insane. I mean, I remember as a kid, when you got a rainstorm that they measured in inches, like 1 or 2 inches, and that was a big deal. Seriously, that was a lot of rain. You got a rainstorm, you got an inch or two, and we get these rainstorms now where they're measuring them. I mean, gosh, you know, Vermont, we're measuring the rainfall in feet now. That's a foot and a half of rain. And really, really sad what happened up there. There's a lot of communities that are still just locked out by washed out bridges and roads. They've had to helicopter in food and supplies and rescue materials. And Vermont lost a handful of their cherished covered bridges that have been around forever and a big part of the tourism up there and all that. So pretty sad stuff when you come right down to it. I think two deaths in Vermont. So that part of it certainly could have been worse, but the loss of property and the loss of your belongings in your house in a flood, your pictures, your personal stuff, your children's toys and family mementos and heirlooms, all that stuff. When you think about it in those terms, it's a pretty devastating event, and New Hampshire had its share of that as well. Mike Flanagan, former pitcher, I think, for the Orioles and New Hampshire resident, and I think he may even have been born here, found dead outside his Maryland home of a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. So kind of odd, haven't heard much about that story. I thought that would have been kind of bigger news up here in New Hampshire. All I've seen about it is a paragraph here and there. But a sad story there. Kind of have to wonder what happened to a guy like that. Major league ball player, very successful, ends up dying at his own hand with no other comment beyond that. So sad situation there, and our condolences. The second round of layoffs here in New Hampshire, right here in Nashua, is St. Joseph's Hospital. 63 people affected, 47 people actually laid off. This is the second and they say final round of layoffs at the hospital as a result of the dramatic budget cuts that have had to go on in the state of New Hampshire and elsewhere as we all try to get our fiscal house under control. That being said, we'll move on to national politics. And, of course, New Hampshire's always hot and heavy in that game. Everybody knows by now that just a few days ago, Jack Kimball, that sounds like a children's book, kind of. Jack Kimball Takes a Train by Carl Zahn. Kimball resigned, stepped down under much pressure from, this is all part of the divisive, there's this line, there's this divide in between the Republican Party and the Tea Party, and Jack Kimball more or less representing the Tea Party. There's just pressure from him to step down. They felt that he wasn't performing in terms of fundraising, raising money. I don't know if that's the real reason or not, but I know that there was a line drawn in the sand with several notable New Hampshire politicos on one side and several notable New Hampshire politicos on the other side. And there was pressure on Kimball, and he's stated in his address last week that he was resigning reluctantly, that it's not what he had wanted to do, but he felt that certain people felt that he was an obstacle to the Republican Party having a successful run in 2012 here in the state, and he did not want that badge and decided to step down reluctantly, and also cited political threats, quote unquote. I'm not sure what that means, but I know that it was getting pretty nasty. There's pressure on Kimball to step down, and so he did step down. And we'll see what happens now as someone else fills that position and see if we can move ahead. Also in New Hampshire, Texas Governor Rick Perry was in state the past few days, a few house parties and some campaign stops. Very interesting. If you follow politics at all, you know that Governor Perry just stepped in a couple weeks ago and is already in most polls ahead of Mitt Romney. So an interesting dynamic here in the GOP side of the race unfolds as Rick Perry steps into the ring. Brash, charming, handsome, good record. I like the guy. If you listen to the show, you know that I'm supporting Thad McCarter right now, and I'm hoping that T-Mac gets his game on up here. He'll be back in New Hampshire from September 8th through the 11th. You can learn more about him at McCotter2012.com. That's McCotter. I like this guy, but there's something weird going on in the press. I'm not sure what it is, but I know that none of this stuff is ever coincidence. We've had Congressman McCotter, who is a congressman from the 11th District in Michigan. He's been a congressman since 2002. I like the cut of his jib, as Dennis Miller would say. He's been in studio with us a couple times, and just kind of a lackluster takeoff up here, not by any fault of his own, I think, but maybe his management on the ground. I'm not sure what it is. But there also seems to be an odd dynamic going on with the media shutting out McCotter. I just see his name mentioned nowhere. He is a legitimate, filed and declared candidate. There's something going on with McCotter and Fox News where they have decided, number one, not to include him in any of their sponsored debates, apparently. And also, I just never hear his name even whispered on any of their programming, which makes me think, and I could be wrong, but it makes me think it's not a coincidence that there's some mandate coming down from the upstairs that says, for whatever reason, there's a beef going on there. And I even noticed it in New Hampshire. Now I see him rarely, if at all, mentioned in the Union Leader. I'm not sure why. Hippo did a nice interview with him last week, but that's the Hippo. So McCotter needs to get on his game up here. I'm not worried about the Perry dynamic at this point in the race. I think it's early. I think I like Rick Perry. If McCotter were to drop out, I guess that's probably the direction I would go in. Although I think Perry is awfully soft on immigration for a Texas governor, for a border state. He supports state college tuition for the children of illegal immigrants. And, you know, and I understand and empathize with the compassionate side of that viewpoint. Perry's a Christian. I think he's got a good heart. I think we all feel like, well, the kids didn't do anything. It's not their fault. But the problem is that type of stuff is exactly what encourages people to come over here illegally, as opposed to discouraging people from coming over here illegally, which is what I think we want to be doing right now. We can't take care of our own here right now, folks. We don't have the infrastructure to deal with our own criminals, much less criminals coming here from other country. We can't do as much as we can for our own citizens, much less trying to help citizens here from other countries who don't appear to want to be citizens here, but just want to be here. So I think Perry's soft stance on immigration is going to hurt him. And furthermore, when I see a guy come out of the gate, shoot up like a shooting star, kind of a meteoric rise, that kind of a rise and those kind of numbers are always difficult to sustain. And it's early in the game. So my advice to Thad McCotter and anyone into politics, don't lay down your number yet. It's early in the game. McCotter is still in a good position to get recognized, to catch on, to gain momentum here in New Hampshire, and to have that momentum peak when it needs to peak, which is around next August, almost a year from now. So Perry's in a great place right now, but that's going to be hard to sustain for 12 months. It's Crosswinds with Carl Zahn, 1590 WSMN. We'll have more on the national political scene right around the corner.
Be more, do more, have more. Listen to Making Mountains Move with Chuck Morrison every Wednesday at noon on 1590 WSMN. Chuck is an entrepreneur and motivational speaker dedicated to helping people reach their goals. It's time for you to live up to your highest potential. It's time for you to live life on your terms. It's time to make mountains move. Every Wednesday at noon with Chuck Morrison on 1590 WSMN, Nashua's News and Talk, and WSMNRadio.com.
Victor Ray, this is Scorpion 23, traveling west on MSR.
One Victor hit by IED at Grant. Mike Bravo, 310-737, next call on fire. Request QRF.
In war, there will always be casualties. And for our wounded warriors, coming home can sometimes be a battle in itself. Join us and find out how your donation can make a difference in their lives at USO.org. The USO, until everyone comes home.
If you love food
and your heart, go grocery shopping with me, Mon, short for monounsaturated fat.
And me, polyunsaturated.
We're the better fat sisters. Over here in the cooking oil aisle, choose canola, olive, and other vegetable oils. Liquids are better for your heart than solid fats.
You'll also find us in fresh foods like avocados, nuts, and fish.
Before you put any baked goods, packaged, and prepared foods in your cart, read the labels.
Avoid our bad fats brothers, saturated and trans. They love to clog your arteries.
We're heart healthier, but let's face it, we're fats.
We all have the same 9 calories per gram, so watch your portions.
And thanks for shopping with us.
The Better Fat Sisters. Be kinder to your heart. Learn more and get recipes at heart.org/facethefats. Nationally sponsored by Canola Info.
Did you know that there are medical grants available for families struggling with child health-related expenses? The United Healthcare Children's Foundation is accepting applications for the 2011 grant program now. The grants are available to help families who need financial assistance to pay for their child's healthcare treatments, services, or equipment not covered or not fully covered by their commercial health insurance plans. They include medical services and equipment such as physical therapy, occupational therapy, prescriptions, wheelchairs, orthotics, eyeglasses, and hearing aids. Parents and legal guardians may apply for grants of up to $5,000 for child medical services. For eligibility guidelines or to apply, go online to www.uhccf.org. That's www.uhccf.org. To be eligible for grants, children must be 16 years of age or younger, families must meet economic guidelines, reside in the United States, and have a commercial health insurance plan. This has been a public service message from the United Healthcare Children's Foundation.
Check on the program schedule or listen live on your computer. It's all at WSMNradio.com.
Hi, Bill O'Reilly here, and you are listening to Crosswinds with Carl Zahn on 1590 WSMN, Nashua's News and Talk.
Thanks, Bill, for that liner. Welcome back to Crosswinds at 1590 WSMN, Nashua's News and Talk, 603-816-1590. If there's anything you want to talk about, you got a yard sale you want to talk about, 816-1590. And WSMNradio.com to learn more about me. I am your host, Carl Zahn. I'll be at Catch a Rising Star next Thursday in Providence, Rhode Island, September 8th. You can check out my schedule of comedy appearances at Carl, K-A-R-L, from NH.com. Cher of Sonny and Cher has taken to her Twitter account to ask people to support her son/daughter, Chaz, who will be performing on Dancing with the Stars. Not a program that I've ever taken to. Allie, are you a Dancing with the Stars fan? I didn't think so. She's just shaking her head, folks. Yeah, it's not a program that does it for me. I'm not a big dancing person anyways, but I kind of get why there's a little backlash about, and for those not informed, this is Cher's daughter who decided to become a man and underwent whatever, you know, procedures they do to make that happen, and is now going to be performing on Dancing with the Stars, also with Nancy Grace, another odd selection. Nancy Grace, Dancing with the Stars. That ought to be interesting. You know, that might actually get me to tune into the show for the first time ever. But yeah, so there's some public backlash over having Chaz Bono, formerly a woman, now a man, daughter slash son of Cher, on a program which has essentially been... Oh, Allie is showing me the picture here. She's turned it. Hold on. Oh, between the two of them, I mean, there's the picture of this hippo that is Cher's offspring, and then a picture of Cher, who is equally frightful at this stage of the game, not aging gracefully, fighting the aging process, and it shows. And, you know, look, what? It's a family show. So you got to expect some backlash. I'm just always amazed. You know, I don't really care. This is one of these things. All right. You know, you want to change yourself back and forth from gender to gender. Go ahead. Knock yourself out. As long, yeah.
Excuse me for interrupting. I didn't know she had a kid until this happened.
You didn't?
No.
Yeah, I think she's got a couple of kids. And
I didn't
it
even
was
know.
A daughter, and now you
she
can
was too old.
Now you can see it's a person with facial hair, right?
I guess so.
had her breast surgically removed for this process. Now look, folks, I'm a parent. And while I say on one hand, I don't care what people do with their personal lives, I don't care what you do with your body, it's your body. As a parent, and I think most parents would agree, I mean, is that what you would want for your child? Is that what you want to see your child go through? Does that look like a happy person? Is there anybody that thinks that now, having changed himself or herself, I don't even know how you describe this in the English language, having changed herself to a himself, is there anyone that thinks that Chaz Bono is going to be a happier person at the end of all this? I mean, I don't know. I hope so. I hope so. I wish you happiness. But, you know, when you come out after going through something like that, and then the public, there's public outcry because it's a family TV show. And you know what? Hey, maybe some parents don't want to be watching Dancing with the Stars and feel suddenly thrust into the position of having to explain to their school-age children, you know, a sex change operation. Oh, you know, it's okay, honey. She used to be a girl. Now she's a man with facial hair. Maybe some people don't want to have that conversation. So you just can't be surprised when there's some public outcry. And so these people always kind of amaze me and irritate me a little bit, you can probably tell, by the predictable response of, hey, how come you're making fun of my son or daughter, Chaz? Why is the public being, you know, Cher has put out this missive on Twitter for people, you know, that there are people bashing Chaz and making fun of Chaz on message boards and sites all across the country. And she's asking her fans to support. Yes, Allie?
He's 42 years old.
42.
And he's getting this upset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Allie, apparently I've piqued her interest.
Bad
parenting. She has said more in the last 10 minutes than the prior 2 years on the show. But yeah, it's just, you know what? You can't be surprised. And Cher has said, look, it took guts to do it. I'll give her that. Took a lot of courage for this. I can't say a kid at 42. I guess I was thinking it was a kid, but it's an adult.
Can I tell you what he wrote?
What did he write?
Or she?
Yeah, she. Well, no, it's a he now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. The Twitter. Thanks for all your support, Mom. The haters are motivating me to work harder and stay on DWTS as long as I possibly can. I don't know what
DWTS
that is.
DWTS is Dancing with the Stars, okay. Acronym, I guess. So it's the haters.
He's 42 years old.
42 years old. Yeah,
you
so
be
you see what I mean,
children.
Folks? You know, the haters. I mean, we're not haters.
I don't talk like that.
You're right.
You don't talk like that.
No, I don't talk like that. And people can't voice an opinion. I mean, this is what I mean. Chaz, Bono, did you expect no public response from your sex change operation and the fact that you're going to be on Dancing with the Stars? I mean, tell me honestly, you didn't expect any backlash, any comment from anybody. What are you, nuts? They're not haters. They're people that are concerned. They're people who feel like their sensibilities have been assaulted here. You know, maybe this is a big show for people. I know there's a lot of people that love the show, and maybe they feel like now their enjoyment of the program has been compromised by this decision. And let me tell you something else, Chaz. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with you. Dancing with the Stars wanted you on there because it's a freak show, and it brings all kinds of public attention to their TV show. I'm sorry to break your heart. It's not because they love you. It's not because they think you're special. It's because they knew way up front, hey, get this guy on here on our dancing program, and we're going to get more free publicity than you can shake a stick at. Everyone is going to be talking about Chaz Bono being on Dancing with the Stars. And you know what? It worked. You have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out, you know? Just in the same way, if they denounced they had a silverback gorilla coming on to compete with Dancing in the Stars, it would be all over the newspapers and people would be talking about it all over the place. It's got nothing, you know. Bad news, Chaz Bono. They used you. They used you. You fell into it. They got what they wanted. You're going to get what you want, which is tons of public attention for your cause, for your struggle, whatever you want to call it. We're not haters. We're just people with some, let's say, more demure sensibilities about what we want to see on television and public programming and what we, you know, want to have to explain to our children. It's like the erectile dysfunction medication ads that we all have to sit through, you know, as a family. Come on. And then you claim to be surprised when people are outraged, you know. Come on. If I took a pogo stick down Main Street in Nashua wearing nothing but a leopard skin thong and a bozo wig, I wouldn't be surprised when people had comment at the end of that, all right? When you do something notably outrageous and then you get the expected response, please don't treat the rest of us like idiots by being surprised and all aghast, even Cher. There's nothing to be aghast about. You should have anticipated this. In fact, a good parent might have warned their offspring. Look, you've just had a sex change operation from being a woman to being a man. You had your breasts removed. You had steroid shots and whatever else they do to you so that you grow a beard. Any other parent would be telling their child, please don't go on Dancing with the Stars, because you know what? The comedians of the world, the public being what it is, the internet, you're going to get trashed. You're going to get your feelings hurt. And what kind of parent stands by and watches their child do that? And then, again, the predictable response, their response to that is outrage and indignation. Come on. Get with the program. It's human nature. It's real life. No surprise there. 603-816-1590 if you want to talk about your sex change operation, how your beard is coming along. We'd love to hear that story from you, 816-1590. We talked about Jack Kimble resigning and Sarah Palin back to politics coming to New Hampshire tomorrow. Now, this is interesting because Palin is torturing everybody. She's acting like she's a presidential candidate, but she hasn't announced. No one knows if she's going to announce. A recent Gallup poll showed that something like 65% of Republicans don't want her to run. Do not want her to run. There's something like 20% in favor of her running. So I think in a way, Palin is wearing out her welcome with this kind of celebrity hip-hop thing that she's doing all across the country. Every time you turn around, she's on a bus or a boat or an airplane, headed somewhere, giving a speech. Look, I've talked about it. I admire the Palins. I like Sarah Palin as a person. I like her family. I think she's a great mom. I like her husband. They seem like good folks. Love to have a beer and a cookout with them and see Alaska. Do I want her as president? Not really. There was a time I thought, and again, look, if it was her or Obama, you know, I'm voting for her. But then again, if it's Obama and an exceptionally smart German Shepherd, I'm voting for the German Shepherd. We'll get to that later in the program. This guy is dismal and abysmal as a president, but that's coming up. So back to Sarah Palin. She's back in New Hampshire tomorrow. And it'll be interesting to see what's going on here. I don't know what she's doing. I think more and more people are going, what's she doing? Is she just interfering with the race? Is she just a political celebrity who's going to go around giving speeches about her, you know, her view of the world? And you know what? If that's all she's doing and you can make money doing it, more power to you. That's great work if you can get it. I would love to do that. Just traverse across the country giving speeches about my opinions. That'd be great. But you know what? Maybe that's all she's doing. And maybe the media needs to cool off on her a little bit until she announces that she's running for president. The only reason she's in the news is because you put her in the news. As soon as that stops, it goes away, like most things that are in the news. So I don't know. Be it far from me to know what Sarah Palin is up to. But man, she still attracts a crowd. She still rocks for the people that like her. And I guess she's got that capital in the bank, and she's going to spend it when she wants to spend it. She's going to put more of it away when she feels like tucking more of it away. But in a way, if she is planning on running, I think she's smart, because I think in a lot of ways, especially someone like her, someone like Chris Christie, who's got instant notoriety, you've got an instant base of people, you know, waiting to shoot you over the top. I think they're smart to wait, because the longer you wait, the less exposure you have to the wolves and to the hammering that every presidential candidate is going to get. This race is going to be ugly, folks. You think past presidential campaigns have been ugly? This race is just going to be insanely gloves off ugly, I think. But I think if that's what she's doing, she's smart to wait. If Christie is in the wings waiting, I think he's smart to wait. And again, as I mentioned earlier with Governor Perry, I think in some ways it was a liability for him to come out this early, because he had that similar kind of political capital. Well-liked, strong base, true conservative. He could have announced 6 months from now and had the same kind of meteoric rise through with the poll numbers and lessened his exposure, because he's got a year. You know, he's got a year, 12, 13, 14 months now. He's got to carry these numbers. And I think that's going to be difficult to do, because every time someone else jumps in, you've got to weather that. And you've got to weather it with the kind of the glow of the honeymoon, the glow of the post-announcement honeymoon well worn off. Everyone's real excited about Rick Perry right now, as I think they should be, and as is warranted. But that excitement will wane, just like excitement about most relationships always wane. It's no different between the candidates and the people who support them. After a while, the glow kind of goes off a little bit, so we'll see what happens. In my opinion, this presidential race on the GOP side is still wide open. And I'm hoping, continue to hope, that Thad McCotta catches on up here, that he gets some press so people can actually see what this guy is all about and have an opportunity to hear him speak. Without that, it goes nowhere. And tried to get him up to come up for the Labor Day parade in Milford tomorrow, which is always a big political event. It's the biggest parade in the state, or has been historically. And it's a big stop for people in the presidential race. Can draw up to 10,000 people. You got to do a lot of open houses and a lot of shaking hands at diners to get your name out in front of 10,000 people. So I think that was an important stop for him. Far as I know, he's not coming. That tells me something. Not sure McCott is serious about winning, and that concerns me. Love the guy, think the world of him, but New Hampshire's important. You got to get on your game. And I wonder sometimes when you blow off something like that if you're really serious about winning. It's Crosswinds with Carl Zahn. More stuff right after these brief words.
My name is Sue Smith. I'm 38 years old, and I work at a graphic design company, which is funny, because I couldn't even draw a stick figure when I was a kid. But I met someone who told me, you know what? You can do anything if you really want to. And if the teenage me were here, she'd tell you,
I wouldn't be into drawing and art if it wasn't for big brothers, big sisters. Most kids from my neighborhood don't get into art. They get into trouble. But I was lucky because my big sister showed me early on that I didn't have to be like most people. And to the young me,
that meant a lot. My big sister's name is Sheila. And Sheila is the reason that this 8-year-old grows up to have an amazing job as a graphic designer.
Whether you donate money or time, you're helping big brothers, big sisters help a child. And that can last a lifetime. Start something today at bigbrothersbigsisters.org. Brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Radio and television have been part of your daily life for as long as you can remember, so why not make a career out of it? Visit NHAB.org, the online home of the New Hampshire Association of Broadcasters, to learn more about over-the-air broadcasting. Interested in pursuing a career in radio or television? Whether it be on the air or behind the scenes, many Granite State stations are looking for motivated people just like you. Visit our online job bank at NHAB.org to view current job openings jobs, and even post your resume for potential employers. You can also access a list of upcoming job fairs in New Hampshire as well as NHAB-sponsored events. Students, if you're studying over-the-air broadcasting, apply for the NHAB Student Broadcaster Scholarship and learn about available internships at local stations. It's easy to navigate, full of useful resources, and it's only a click away. NHAB.org, the online source of Granite State Broadcasting.
Hi, it's Doug Steffen. Listen to Good Day Early Mornings on 1590 WSMN.
Nashua's News and Talk.
This is Greg Gutfeld, the host of Red Eye on Fox News. You're listening to Crosswinds with Carl Zahn, who's basically a jerk.
I am a jerk, and welcome back to The Jerk Show with Carl Zahn. Crosswinds, 1590 WSMN, Nashua's News and Talk. That was Greg Gutfeld, host of Red Eye on Fox News, and also host and panel member on the new Fox show, 5 at 5, or 5 on 5, or 5 plus 5. I don't know. It's 5 panel members, and it's on at 5 o'clock weekdays on Fox News. So Gut picking up double duty at Fox. He's got another show now, and I saw Gutfeld's sidekick, Andy Levy, also turning up more and more on Hannity's show and also on Bill O'Reilly's show last week doing the quiz segment with Bill O'Reilly. So Andy Levy, Andy, making his way up through the ranks there at Fox News New York. Oh, Catch a Rising Star, September 8th, Thursday, Providence, Rhode Island. I will be there. We're talking about politics, and the new job numbers came out last week. Zero jobs created in August in the United States. Zero. Just kind of sitting here. That's what we're doing. I don't know what the rest of the world's up to, what you other countries are doing, but over here, we're just kind of, that's it. We're just kind of sitting on our blanket, staring off into the horizon, watching the poppies blow back and forth in the wind. That's us. That's America. Zero. Zero jobs growth. Not surprising, considering who we have in the wheelhouse right now, this guy. Oy. I've tried to give him some slack because I didn't want to be a basher. We talked about that early on a couple years ago. I didn't vote for him, but he's my president. I want to give the guy a chance. I want to give him a fair chance. I couldn't stand the universal bashing that Bush got from the left over every single thing that he did. And I figure, you know what? Give the guy a chance. But you know what? We're 2 years in. Now I've had a pretty good look at the guy. I used to like him. Well, you know, I can't say I don't like him. I think he's a good father, husband, all that. But yeah, this part of me that's really starting to dislike this guy. He just seems like an elite snob. The big vacation to Martha's Vineyard spoke volumes about how in touch he is with the rest of the country here and what's going on in the country. I think he had an opportunity there to really make some serious political hay by foregoing that expensive vacation for something more frugal that the American people, you know, might actually begin to believe that you have an idea what's going on out here for the rest of us. But it was more important for him to take the big fancy vacation. And I reminded people, as I did a few weeks ago, when we were talking about his vacation, never saw President Bush doing stuff like that, spending money like that. You know, it was back to the ranch, hang out, pile brush, get some air, get some fresh air, peace and quiet. Bush, I always suspected, appreciated his solitude and his time with his family. But, you know, I can't even imagine President Bush taking that kind of lavish, you know, vacation in Martha's Vineyard with all the, you know, the hoity-toity down there. It's just obnoxious. And then on the heels of that, he's been promising President Obama his big job speech, another speech about jobs. And this is Washington, you know, this is how they deal with stuff, speeches and committees. So he comes back and schedules his big job speech for this coming Wednesday, which, of course, is the big GOP presidential candidate debate being televised in California. And that set in motion this big brouhaha about the course. The Republicans came out and said, you know, you're kidding me, right? You're going to have your speech on the night that we're having our debate. And the Obama administration's answer was, oh, sorry, we didn't realize you were having a debate that night, which, of course, the whole country knows is absolute crap. I mean, come on. Sorry, we didn't know you're having one of the most major presidential debates yet in the field on the same night we scheduled our speech. So then after some back and forth, and they blamed John Speaker Boehner for making a big brouhaha about it, and then they scheduled it for the following night. Well, that interfered with the football game. It's a big football game on Thursday night. So I guess Obama moved his speech up again on Thursday earlier so as not to interfere with the football game. So in the end, everyone loses because Obama now looks like a pushover. You are the president, after all, and you could have just said, I don't care who's debating Wednesday night. I'm the president, and I'm going to give my speech when I want to give my speech. But instead, he acquiesced, and now he looks even weaker than, as incredible as that is to believe that this guy could look any weaker. His poll numbers are just in a spiral. This guy is just very unpopular right now, and people not impressed with his performance, rightfully so. So they have this big brouhaha over the speech and the scheduling of the speech and the presidential debate, the GOP debate. So in the end, Obama looks weak, Republicans look nasty, gives the liberals another thing to, you know, tool on the GOP for. They squeeze the president out. Come on, this debate has been planned for months now. Everybody knew it was coming who pays attention. I mean, believe me, if I knew that it was coming, then the president knew. Because I don't pay a whole lot of attention to those debates and stuff like that. But they obviously knew that there was a scheduling conflict, and it was a political ploy, another kind of nya-nya moment between politicians. And, of course, the real loser in all of it is the American people and the American public who have, by the way, zero confidence right now in the economy, in the notion that this country is going to be able to save itself from fiscal and financial oblivion. There is zero consumer confidence right now. People are frozen. And so what's the message that we get from Washington? Hey, we couldn't even work out the scheduling. We couldn't even work out the scheduling between the president's speech and the GOP debate. And you people think we're going to solve the country's financial problems? I'll tell you, folks, more and more, I just feel like an idiot out here even thinking that there's anyone capable down there in Washington or that we could ever put enough capable people in to save this thing. I really have my doubts, and I'm reading more and more and more stories from people very, very bright and well-versed in history, well-versed in economics, who are suspecting more and more that we could be on our way to a situation where the bottom just falls out of the whole thing. Wall Street, another huge big financial collapse, only this time it goes global because now the whole world is watching us. Now the whole world is hanging by threads, with the obvious exception of China, who, by the way, Congressman McCarter rightfully points out will be the Russia for the next generation, the Soviet Union for the next generation. And I honestly believe that. And while I'm talking about that, also McCarter points out that China, and you can see signs of it already, that we begin to overlook their human rights violations. It's a communist country. It's a nuclear-armed communist dictatorship, China. And they are the world superpower right now, economically speaking. And they will soon be the world superpower militarily, as they've been building aircraft carriers and stuff like that, like madmen, for the last decade. So you're going to see China, I think McCarter rightfully points out, as the new world superpower. And he said, you already see signs of our kowtowing to them by not pointing out some of their outrageous human rights violations, which we now, the United States, more and more has no statement, no comment. You saw this a week or two ago, where there was back in the news, China's policy of allowing couples only one child. and wanting the sex of those children to be male. You know, so you basically have a government over there that tells you, okay, you're married, you can have one child, and if the child turns out to be, once you're pregnant, a female, we may suggest that you abort that pregnancy. That's China, okay? And that's the country that we're doing business with and now have found ourselves in the unenviable position of not being able to comment on stuff like that because we owe them every limb on our body. So it's going to be interesting. I tend to agree that the bottom could just fall out of the whole thing, that we're either going to start inching towards some kind of recovery, and that means better numbers than zero jobs in the month of August, which should be a strong month economically for this country, and we have zero growth. Boy, we're on thin ice here. This country is really on thin ice, and people do need to pay attention. You do need to get involved in the political scene, whether you like it or not, to the extent that you find a candidate you support, and do everything you can to help that person get to where they want to be, because that's the battleground for those of us. You know, I hear tons of people always say to me, well, you know, I'm one person. I don't feel like I can do anything. Yeah, well, you can. You can do that. You can go to a political town hall meeting, which is as boring as sin, but at least you go, you educate yourself, you get involved, and I think that's probably one of the most important things that everybody can do as an American citizen. You owe that to the country, indeed, to be involved. And quickly, as we finished up, the 10-year anniversary of September 11th coming up right around the corner, I watched with great interest and with a heavy heart. National Geographic had an interview with George Bush that aired for the first time, I think, just a week ago. I've already watched it a couple times because I found it very touching and enlightening, and a lot of stuff that I didn't know about that happened on that day. It was September 11th, 2001, from the perspective of George Bush, who was president when that happened. And again, I find myself missing Bush, a pragmatic, sensitive man. See more than once times during this interview where he gets emotional, talking about what happened to the country that day. When everybody knows now, he was reading to children in a classroom in Florida when he got that news, and there was much ballyhoo from the left about him not reacting fast enough and the fact that he didn't jump up out of his seat and yell out to all the children, the country's under attack. Of course not. He handled it like a gentleman. He was taking in that shocking news, a little stunned at first. You could see that in his face, absolutely stunned at the news. And it took him a few minutes to gather his senses, to get gracefully out of a classroom full of young children without scaring them to death. But really interesting stuff to see President Bush. They hustled him onto Air Force One. He was adamant about going back to Washington and really aggravated that they wouldn't let him do that. And you can see it even now, 10 years later, when he discusses it. He was P.O.'d. He wanted to get back to the Capitol. His advisors said, no way. They just crashed another plane into the Pentagon. We don't know what's going on. You could still be in danger there. And so they flew him around in the country, indeed Air Force One and the two fighter jets that were escorting it and keeping it safe were the only three aircraft in the skies over the entire United States during that time. Think about that and think about being that guy. As Bush rightly pointed out about September 11th, he said, I was a president who was dealing mostly with domestic issues, nothing out of the ordinary. And as of that day, that morning, he said, I became a wartime president, not something I ever wanted. Bush's words. And I bet surely not something he ever wanted. He kept us safe for 8 years. I give him credit for that. He had a hard hand, man. That was a tough, tough thing to deal with. Try to imagine, if you can, the president that we have now dealing with something like that, ladies and gentlemen. Does that give you pause? Does that make you wonder? Makes me wonder. I wouldn't want to be under this guy on something like that. I just don't have the feeling that he could handle it. I think he'd be lost. Bush made decisions, tough decisions that he had to make. And the other thing about George Bush is, you know, when I hear him speak about this during this interview, and I recommend it, by the way, the National Nat Geo channel, Bush on 9/11. there's no question this guy loves his country, loves his family. He gets choked up talking about finally getting back to Washington and seeing his wife, Laura, and his two daughters for the first time, for whom he was immensely concerned during that period. And even after they got back to Washington, something I never knew, they were back there shortly when they got hustled down the hall and into the bunker underneath the White House when they thought there was another threat. It turned out to be a military jet that was covering the Capitol airspace. But because of the messed up communications that day and the general chaos of it, they thought it was another threat to the White House. And you hear the president talk about being literally running down the halls of the White House with guards with automatic weapons on either side of him, his wife with him. Really a panic situation as they hustled him back into the bunker underneath the White House, thinking that there was another threat. And boy, it just, this documentary, I've been watching a lot of stuff on 9/11 because National Geographic Channel is doing pretty extended coverage of it. I think I learned more about that day in the last two or three days watching some stuff on there late at night than I even knew before. And it reminds me and reminds us of what a heartbreaking that day that was for the country. Just awful. What do you got there, Allie?
Have you ever heard of the wartime song? I can't find it. I was looking for it.
The wartime song?
It's Bush.
Really?
Yeah, it has to do with when he was in presidency.
Oh, we'll see if you can find it. We'll play a little on our way out.
Well, I can't find an appropriate one.
Oh. Well, I'll check that out, the wartime song. Thanks for the tip. Yeah. And listen, you know, we all owe ourselves a moment of silence on this 10-year anniversary coming up of September 11th. Think about, boy, it's just amazing that day what happened to this country and all those innocent people from the World Trade Towers to a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where Flight 93 went in, the flight in the Pentagon, all the families that had suffered these terrible losses. The firefighters and emergency responders in New York who still to this day are dealing with health issues from having to rush in and deal with that horrific scene. Tell you what, 10 years still chokes me up. Still chokes me up. Can't get through it when I see those planes fly into those buildings. I see those clouds of dust swallowing up the streets of New York and people panicked and crying and running for cover. What an awful, awful day. And what a salient reminder that those people are still out there. And legions and legions of people who would kill you, your wife, your children, your brother, your sister, for nothing more than being an American. That threat is as real today as it was 10 years ago, folks. And best to keep that in mind. Best to keep that in mind. Heavy-duty stuff. Thanks for being with us at Crosswinds. We'll be back next Sunday with another live show. And you never know, as you know, who we may have in for guests at any given moment. So check us out next Sunday and have a good Labor Day weekend.